Financial planners today have a lot of different investment products at their disposal when they're building an investment portfolio for their clients. One of those products, of course, is an ETF or an exchange-traded fund. They have been growing in popularity for years and years and years, affecting the way portfolios are designed, the cost of services offered, and the margins that those planners and advisors make on those services. Rona Birenbaum is the founder of Caring for Clients, and she joins us now to tell us about how in some cases, get this, ETFs are actually increasing the cost of financial advice. Hello there.
Hi.
I saw this headline on the piece that you wrote, and I was like, what? This is counter to everything we have been talking about for a decade. Increasing the cost, what do you mean?
Well, what I mean is that when there's two components to the cost of wealth management. There's the cost of the product and there's the cost of the advice.
Yeah.
And historically, the advisory component has been like a 1% fee. And then the cost of product has been like 1.5%, making 2.5% for a mutual fund. Now, if you all of a sudden reduce the cost of the product to 0.25%, that leaves a whole lot more room for advisors to charge more and for investors to still think they're paying a lot less.
So to be clear, it's not increasing the cost of their total expenses. It's could increase the cost of the advice portion of that. Is this because you could go on a margin grab? You could say, well, listen, it's only going to be 1.8% instead of 2.5%. I'm just taking more of that now.
That's exactly what's happening. Although I'm just taking more of that doesn't really.
That's not the lead headline.
No.
You have an anecdote about an industry salesperson who actually recommended that you raise your fees. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, well, he did. He said, look, if you replace some of the investments that you recommend to your clients with this lower cost option, then you can simply charge more and either the client will be paying the same as they were paying overall before or slightly less. So here's just a way for you to give yourself a 50% raise. Rona, why wouldn't you want to do that?
And your response was?
Well, first of all, when I picked myself up off the ground.
Right. And you got an ice pack for your chin, which had been bruised from slamming on the top of your desk.
Exactly. Well, my answer was our fees are fair. There's no reason for us to raise the fees. What we're looking to do is reduce the overall cost to clients and get them the best investment result. And if we get a lower cost product, we just leave our fees the same. Like, why on earth would we increase our fees? And what he had said to me at the time is, well, that's what others are doing. So you're losing out.
Right.
And my response was, no, I think in the long run, we're going to be just fine because once investors realize that this is what's going on, they're going to want to deal with, you know, the more ethical way of doing business like we do.
There has been progress on the fee front and people's awareness about fees. What I've been saying for almost a decade is if you honestly know what you're paying and you're clear about it and you're convinced you're getting value for it, fantastic. Whatever model works for you, I'm thumbs up on that. What would you say about today and the average investor's ability to understand the fees that they pay? Has CRM2 made a significant difference in your mind?
It's helped a lot because it's created more transparency than there ever was before. However, CRM2 has only illuminated half of the picture. It only requires the disclosure of the advisor compensation, not the product side of the equation. So it went halfway, but there's still an underlying problem, and that is that consumers still don't know what they should be getting for that advisory fee. And up until recently, for the most part, all they've been getting is quote-unquote investment management, whereas they really should be getting a whole lot more than that. And they don't realize that. They didn't realize it before. And I think they still don't realize it now.
What's on the more for that front? And if you could be as specific as possible, because I talk to a lot of people who are by and large happy with the financial advice they're receiving, but they really don't know that what they could have is far more detailed, far more nuanced, that is outside of investments and into a true financial plan.
Yeah. So financial planning should be a part of the service offering from a full service advisor. So if an investor is paying 1% or more for their advisory fees, they should be getting not just a once a year review of their portfolio. They should be getting a full comprehensive financial plan, which includes cash flow management, risk management, will review, cash flow, you know, how to decumulate, how to accumulate, a review of the annual tax plan, and an integration of the investments with, you know, making sure that all of those plan milestones are being met. It's a much more holistic type of service. And the fact is that most, if not all, of our major banks have now hired internal financial planners. So that when a consumer says to their investment advisor, gee, you know, I would really like some planning, that advisor may not want to do it themselves or may not have the skills or experience to do that, but they can then parachute somebody in from the bank to offer that to them. And I recommend that all the time to prospective clients that come in. I say, gee, you know, you're paying $15,000, $20,000 a year. You know that now. So did you know that you could be getting a financial plan without spending any more money?
Right.
Just by asking.
What about the tax component? That's relevant for every Canadian who has earned income. It's relevant in particular for seniors, as you referenced the decumulation phase. And there's a lot of complexity on how the RIF works and where do you take the money and when do you take them? Is that a part of it?
It is. It's an essential part of it for retirees. So often it comes down to something like, well, sure, you could wait until 71 to draw from your RSP, but if you started pulling out a little bit of it sooner than that, you would be paying far less tax overall. And what you have to do to actually find those little sweet spot opportunities is run a variety of scenarios, of decumulation scenarios, which is, okay, what if we took a little bit from the RSP and we left the TFSA, and then you try it another way and another way, and you try it enough times till you find that optimal strategy. And then, of course, you help your client implement it.
You have raised a question for many of our listeners out there, and that is, am I getting the best value for the advice that I'm receiving? What questions should they be asking their advisors? So they've got a piece of paper, thanks to CRM2, they've got a piece of paper somewhere that has a percentage on it, and that will illuminate what they're paying for advice. Give them some scripting on what they should do when they next see their advisor or call their advisor to understand that advice piece and ensure that the shift towards ETFs didn't end up costing them more on the advice front.
Okay, there's two things they can do. When they meet their advisor next, they can ask them a question. They can say, pretend I'm a prospective client. Tell me how you would win my account. What services would you provide for the fee being charged? And by the way, what were you charging me, or what were you being paid for advice 4 years ago on a percentage basis? And what are you being paid now, or what are you proposing you be paid now?
Those are tough questions. How would you be about answering those questions? Great. You're like rubbing your hands together.
Yeah. In fact, if I don't get asked those questions, I make sure that they do ask them.
Right.
And so obviously from us, clients are getting, you know, that holistic service that I was just describing. They're getting potentially quarterly or semi-annual reviews, cash, you know, all that detailed support. And our fees start at one and go down.
Right.
So they don't go up, they go down. And it's the same for prospective clients as it would be for existing.
Rona, thank you for your time. Appreciate you weighing in on this big conversation. Rona Birnbaum, founder of Caring for Clients. We were talking about exchange-traded funds and how in some cases they could actually be increasing the cost of the financial advice that you receive. Now, remember, advisors are awesome. There's lots of awesome ones out there. You just have to be sure that you are with one who is delivering the value for the price that you are paying.